What are you doing in there?
Schwartz Plumbing, reporting for duty. Whether you got a bad seal, broken seat, nasty hard water stains, leaks, or cracks, we'll fix your throne, good as new. Or we can install a...
I'm just talking to you guys. So we've had a great week here in session. We've had some discussions about some possible discussions and changes with House Bill 2. There's a bill that Senator Berger and I have been discussing and talked about it with our caucus, and so there's nothing to report really yet. There's not a bill to be filed. We're going to make sure that our caucus has consensus. At the end of the day, whatever we decide to do is going to stand by the principles that we are going to make sure we protect bathroom protection, safety, privacy, the things that we've always said we're going to do, that we're going to make sure there's total preemption of those issues, that we are that we're going to make sure that we're not going to have situations where local governments are exceeding their authority, and that at the end of the day that in North Carolina, state law is going to continue to be followed.
You see, though, a real compromise possibility at hand here?
You know, it's possible. We've had a number of discussions, and one thing I've made clear is that, we're not going to move forward till a majority of the caucus is prepared to do something, and so the caucus has had a lot of conversation, and we've discussed it, and so until we reach that point, we won't. The thing I've said all along is this whole thing got started when Charlotte and the city council adopted that ordinance, going down this road. And had they never started this, we wouldn't have even been here a year ago. And, of course, Charlotte finally rescinded the ordinance. That's been very helpful. But, things have also changed. Other cities have talked about doing other things since then. So as a result of that, we have to understand that other cities may want to try to go down this road, so we need to make sure there is a preemption argument and take care of that.
Are the RFRA-like documents that have been floating around part of the discussion that you heard?
No, there is no, I thought that, now you talk about fake news, Binker, that was fake news right there.
I can't be held responsible for that one, sir.
I won't blame you for it, but that was, there was something, I guess, talking about RFRA. There is no RFRA out there. There's been discussion about a conscience protection provision, but anything that's been talked about that's been out there has been something that would be mirroring what's already in our state constitution. So there's absolutely no discussion of a RFRA provision.
What would a conscience protecting provision look like, and what would be the reason to include that in any sort of HB2 related bill?
What you could do is you would simply take a statute, you would put in statute a private cause of action, you would take what's in the state constitution, and you could put in there in statute a private cause of action for a citizen that they feel the government has done something to interfere with the free exercise.
So that looks a lot like what Representative Jackson tweeted out last night.
It actually doesn't. No, it doesn't.
That would be a cause of action, I think, for someone who feels that their religious freedom has been infringed upon by a government.
See, no, the RFRA, actually RFRA allows individuals to sue businesses if they feel a business has done something. And so that's the big thing. That's why businesses, for example, come out against RFRA actions in so many cases. So we never even acted on that when the bill was filed. But our state constitution says if an individual feels like their government has done something to impede upon their free exercise of religion, that they have that right. So there's been talk for years about having a, taking that common law and putting that in statute.
But, Mr. Speaker, sorry.
Yeah.
If you're looking for something, though, to get the NCAA back and talks with you, the NCAA expressed real concerns about
Well, let me say, that's why we're not discussing a RFRA provision. That's why I want to be very clear. When I laughed when I saw folks talking about RFRA, there's not a RFRA provision being discussed.
But is it a distinction without a difference with religion?
It's entirely different. I mean, it'd be like talking about a Cadillac and a Kia. It's not the same thing. Yeah, it's a car. It's got four wheels, unless it's one of John Torbett's autocycles or three wheels. But it's a different thing.
Speaker, there has been discussion having some kind of referendum allowed for local citizens to overturn the will of local governments on discrimination ordinances. Is that still being discussed? Has that been put aside?
You know, what's been talked about at this point when it comes to any type of local NDOs, and again, this is in a discussion phase at this point, would be NDOs that are perhaps a little more limited. I don't want to get into the context of that. That's still in a discussion that's probably not appropriate to get into right now. But you know, what we're trying to do is to not have North Carolina be the litmus test left or right on a lot of these issues. I think a lot of people don't want North Carolina being the poster child on some of these social issues either way. And I will say this when it comes to this issue. I think North Carolina has been mistreated and has been mischaracterized. If you look at the net effect of how House Bill 2, of where we are in North Carolina, of how we are in terms of our laws, we are frankly not that different than a lot of other states. But it's how some of the bill is written. It's how some of the way it's how it's stated that is a lot different. Our law, in fact, and I think most commentators will agree, our law is not much different than South Carolina or Tennessee or Virginia. But there are things that can be changed that would make us identical to those neighboring states. If those changes are made, there would be absolutely no justification for the NCAA, the ACC, anyone else to treat North Carolina any different than those other states.
Is there a time frame, sir, the bill that you and Senator Byrd were talking about? Are you looking at a time frame?
You know, we're having active conversations. We had a very lengthy caucus yesterday with our caucus members. We've had caucus meetings today, and we're taking whatever time is necessary. The biggest thing right now is, and this is the whole thing, I mean, it's, you know, you guys are covering it, and everybody talks about it, and there just tends to be a lot of emotion that gets wrapped up in this whole thing. And there's often, frankly, a lot of times a misunderstanding about it. And one thing we've made very clear from the very beginning is when it comes to this bathroom issue and the, you know, the showers, changing facilities, is that we're not backing off of that. We made it very clear that when it comes to, you know, men being in changing rooms, showers, you know, these facilities, we're not backing off of those privacy issues and that's not changing. So if there's any entity out there, whether it's a sports league or somebody else, that is going to tell North Carolina that we have to let men in women's showers, that's just too bad. We're not going to change that. That's just not going to happen. And if they expect to see a bill in North Carolina that's going to allow that, they're not going to see that under my watch. And I would say they're not going to see that any time in the foreseeable future that I can imagine. So, but there are other things, and I've said this before, there are other things that we can change. There were many different ways that we could have gone about dealing with a situation where Charlotte just went totally off the reservation with what they did than the way we went about it. There were a myriad of different ways we could have struck down that ordinance than the way we did. And so kind of what you have people looking at now is sort of stepping back and saying, are there other ways we could have done it? Are there things that we could do that could, you know, satisfy some of the business folks, but at the same time, we know we're never going to satisfy the hard left. That's not going to happen. Because at the end of the day, we know that like the HRC and those organizations, they're not looking for a solution. They're looking for a political fight, and they're looking for a cause. And so, if I've done something to make them happy, I've probably done something wrong. Yeah.
Speaker, you said, you know, you're talking about bathroom safety and bathroom security. Mm-hmm. We never had these before, and we haven't had a problem with men and women's restrooms, except for the occasional predator. We had nothing to do with transgender people. Now, initially, y'all were talking about that as a response to Charlotte and what they had done, but Charlotte has repealed its ordinance. Why is that still necessary to you?
Well, principally because now that it's happened, we know that other cities and towns have talked about doing the same thing. We have no assurance that, you know, if we were to just repeal this, that some other city or town wouldn't turn around and do it again, because it's just become such a political issue. And that frankly is unfortunate. But to your point, you're correct. You know, for 200 some odd years, everybody knew which bathroom to go to. And so my question's always been, it wasn't a problem. Why did Charlotte even have to go down this road? It was crazy. But they did. They started all of this. They knew what kind of response was going to happen, and we responded. So fortunately, they finally rescinded. We were able to, you know, take some action now, and so we're going to keep moving forward, and we'll see where we are. But we're talking with folks in the business community. I think they understand, the folks that I've talked to understand why we've taken the action that we've taken over time, and we'll see where it goes.
Mr. Speaker, would a ban on any local ordinances be, is it temporary, permanent? Is it something that will, are we talking about a cooling off period or a permanent ban on local governments being able to pass such ordinances?
You know, So there's a broader issue, and that is the whole notion of us being what's called a Dillon's rule state, which is, you know, unlike some states that are what's called a home rule state, where a city or a county has its own a natural form of government, and they have their own powers unless expressly denied. In North Carolina, a city or a county only have the powers that are expressly conferred upon them by the General Assembly. So the question, there's always a natural tug of war in any number of things, whether it's, you know, what impact fees you guys cover, or whether it's local taxes, or any number of issues that we always have with cities and counties, about what powers and authorities that cities and counties have. So one of the issues is, what are cities and counties allowed to get into? Historically in North Carolina, cities and counties have never been permitted to get into issues such as wage and hour law, non-discrimination law. Those have generally been things either regulated by the state government, or really, when it comes to non-discrimination law, federal government. I mean, look at civil rights law. Where has civil rights law been determined? At the federal level. It's always been federal civil rights legislation, federal, you know, Supreme Court legislation. If you look historically, our state, we've always followed federal civil rights law. And so civil rights law ought to be something federal. You ought to not have different civil rights standards from, you know, county to county, city to city, even state to state. That's a federal issue. And so one of the concerns is, if you have different standards from, you know, city A to city B, that just doesn't make sense. So, you know, one of the things that has always made the most sense to me is, you know, when it comes to civil rights law, the federal government has always been the entity that, in my opinion, has always been the one that's been recognized to set civil rights law, and whether it's been by Supreme Court decree or whether it's been by congressional action. And so that seems to be where the default position ought to be. And so if you have a situation where cities are going to be, if they're granted some kind of limited permission to adopt some type of non-discrimination ordinance, it certainly ought to be consistent with federal law.
Speaker, the discussion so far has almost been with Democrats trying to find something that gets just enough Republicans and just enough Democrats on board. Is this new effort you're talking about with Senator Berger, is this a different tack where you're looking for something that Republicans can support and you don't have to make concessions to get X number of Democrats on board to make it work?
So there have been several folks around in the House and in the Senate, members who've been working on a number of proposals to do different things on, you know, House Bill 2 and any number of bills. And, you know, the way I operate here is I don't believe in micromanaging. Every member here is elected just like I am, and I believe every member has the right to run whatever bills they want to do, and they're a member just like I am. My involvement came in that it appears to me in the last few months that all of the other efforts pretty much had stalled. And what I've heard from all sides is that a number of the folks have wanted to try to see if something can be reached, if some kind of compromise can be reached, if there's a way to address some of the concerns, if there's some changes that could be made. Senator Berger and I have been having some meetings and discussing things with some business leaders and other folks. We've had some meetings with the governor to discuss a few things. And as a result of that, we've worked on some legislation. And so we've got a draft in the works, and so we've been discussing that. I've met with my caucus, discussed it. Senator Berger's met with his, and so our members are looking at that, reviewing it over the weekend, and we'll come back next week and talk about it some more.
We'll take two more questions.
Yeah.
Are you going to be needing the majority, or will you pass it out even if you have a majority of Republicans?
You know, I'll tell you the way I operate. We don't, you know, the Speaker always can determine which bills come to the floor. But my policy's always been, if I don't have a majority of my caucus with me, I don't move a bill. I just, you know, that's That's just the way I am. I'd want a majority of my caucus with me before I'd move a bill. So and so if a majority of my caucus would say, you know, we don't like this bill, then I wouldn't move it. And at the end of the day, any bill that I would ever want to move, I would want to make sure that it actually helps address any issues that are out there.
One of the other documents that represent.
You know, you're asking all the questions. You're going to be really unpopular with these guys. Let me get somebody else. Hold on, I'm going to get somebody else, Colin. Who? Okay. And I'll come back to you. And I'll take more than two. Who else has got something? All right. Well, you do get it, Colin. Hey, go ahead.
Yeah, let me just add. I mean, it seems like what you said about the bathroom deal being kind of a line in the sand, that would just seem to kill everything right there. That's what it's really all about, isn't it?
What do you mean?
In terms of the advocates on the other side of this issue, what they're mostly concerned about is the bathroom issue. And you're saying there's no room for negotiation.
I mean, there are several ways to handle the bathroom issue. I mean, you can handle it several ways. But so the far left wants us to pass a law, or wants us to either do one of two things. One, allow Charlotte to adopt the kind of ordinance that they did, which would allow men to use a women's restroom and use women's showers. I mean, nobody can really argue with that. That's the effect of that law. That's what that ordinance would have allowed. Had we not passed House Bill 2 in Charlotte right now, if a man wanted to go in and use a woman's shower, he could do it, period, and be totally legal to do that. That's outrageous. So the far left, they want somebody to be able to do that, and that's not going to happen. But there are several different ways that you can stop that. There are several different ways you can stop that. You don't have to do it in exactly the same way that we did it. But my point is this, to those who would say that in North Carolina that we've got to allow people to go in and just use those facilities as they choose, not based off of their sex that they are, then we're not going to change that part. But I'll say this, that's not what the folks that I'm talking to are asking.
Would the compromise have something in there for people from other states where they can't get their birth certificates changed to accommodate them in this state?
Really, with what we're talking about, we really don't even have to deal with the birth certificates.
I was late to Mr. Stuber to the gathering. This proposal that is in the works, what's the indication from the NBA and or the NCAA?
Well, so I don't want to speak for anybody else, and the way this generally works is, you know, it's like I talk to a person, this person talks to a person, and all that kind of thing. So. But I will just say this, is there have been a lot of folks involved, and if I didn't have pretty good assurances that a number of people thought that there was a pathway to seeing a resolution of these issues, that I wouldn't be wasting my time doing it. And I'll say, I think this is important. People want to do business in North Carolina, and I think a lot of companies, and I think a lot of other entities who initially signed on to these bans and got on this bandwagon about boycotting North Carolina and not being a part of North Carolina are having a little bit of buyer's remorse and are themselves now looking for a way to get out of this mess. I think there's a lot of people who realize they may have made a mistake on this. I'm not directing that to any of the entities you asked about. I want to be very clear on that. And I think there are a lot of folks out there who felt like if enough people piled on, that this General Assembly would fold. And I think it's been very clear we're a year later. We have not folded. I'm not going to answer that question. But there's frankly, those have been private conversations I've had with numerous leaders who've said, hey, you know, we jumped the gun on this and we got this one wrong. And so there's folks who I think who have... Who wish they hadn't have done what they did. But you know, if you look overall at our state, you know, when you talk about the economic issues, at the end of the day, people are moving to the state. We've got record low unemployment. We've got record growth in the state's economy. I mean, things are going great. We're here in Raleigh right now. Go try to find an apartment in this town right now. It's a wait list. I mean, the rural areas are still challenged, but it has nothing to do with this. I mean, we have great things going. But I, like a lot of North Carolinians, want to find a way to get what I think, frankly, is unfair in a lot of ways, to get a lot of this unfair stigma off us. And so if there's things we can do, changes we can make to help fix this, I want to see that we can do it. And that's, you know, that's what we're trying to do. Yeah.
And the second document that Representative Jackson put out there, this kind of goes back to what Craig said, evidently would repeal most of House Bill 2, but leave in Section 1, which deals with bathroom access and government facilities. Is that something that's going to be part of the draft that you and Senator Berger are looking at, leaving that provision in?
Let me. The only thing I know is that what I think what Representative Jackson had was something. I don't even know what he had. I think it was some sort of draft that was over in the Senate side. What he had is not what's being discussed right now. So,
was there some sort of deal that he had come up with? He was tweeting that he and Grady had reached a deal that would get to 60 votes with Democrats. Was anything of that in the works in the last week or two that you know?
I can tell you that House Bill 186 did not have enough votes to pass.
And that's with both parties or just
With both parties. It did not have enough votes. There were not enough Republicans who would vote for that, even if every single Democrat voted for it. And I know for a fact that not every Democrat was going to vote for it. I know what the vote count was. And the vote count, if all of the Democrats who said they were going to vote for it voted for it, and if all of the Republicans who said they were going to vote for it had voted for it, it was going to be less than 50 votes for the bill. And last time I checked, that was less than 61. So.
I have to ask, for all the press that we've gotten and, you know, the coverage that we've gotten nationwide, we're going to do a fix that sort of keeps some of the things that we've really been blasted for. Is that worth doing? Or is it just going to be more negative press? Is it going to push us back up in the headlines again?
You know, well, that's why I say we've got some things, you know, we're not going to betray our core beliefs, and we're not going to do that. And I mentioned to you the things that we're not going to betray. There are changes that we can make that would make us identical to those other states. There are changes we could make to, you could, quote, repeal House Bill 2, and you can replace it with new statutory provisions that would make our laws identical to our neighboring states. Identical in terms of local NDOs, in terms of, you know, these bathroom issues, all of that. And the reality is, it would not substantively really change where we are as a state, because we're actually the same as about 29 other states right now. But it's how we went about doing it, like on the bathroom piece, all the stuff with the birth certificate and all that kind of stuff. You can go through that and make it clear that men go to men's facilities and women go to women's facilities without going through all of this, you know, gymnastics about, you know, going through biological sex and birth certificates and all this stuff, you know, to go to your point about that.